Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 4. Glory to God. I'm excited. I say this every time, I know, but I'm excited about the Word. This has happened to me a few times, and every time that it does, I'm so glad that I obeyed, because I always get fruit afterwards as far as people saying, "Wow, Pastor, that's just exactly what I needed." And, you know, I was all ready to preach today, and I think maybe I will next week if the Holy Ghost permits me. To preach on, you know, the prayer of faith, kind of piggybacking off last week a little bit, and Mark 11:24, and I was all ready to do that, excited about it, excuse me. And I was in bed last night around, I guess it would be about 9:30, and the Lord began to move upon my heart and change the message. Now, when he does that in my mind, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, and because I'm kind of analytical, and, you know, a lot of times I don't even preach from notes, but I like to know, you know, what I'm kind of planning on doing. And so he changed the whole message and began to give me a whole message, and it was in like 5 minutes. Just, you know, I love when that happens, because, well, number one, I don't like it at first, but then it always happens where it just comes quickly to me. And that's great, because there's not a lot of preparation time. I can just meditate. But what the Lord's going to share today is something that he wanted specifically for this service and for this group of people that were here today. And glory to God. Like I said, in my mind, it's like, man, I wanted to preach that other thing and what seemed good. But every time, I've never, you know, changed it up that late notice. I mean, one time he gave it to me the next morning. I woke up right before I came to church, and I can remember the people after. I mean, people come up to me in tears, and I said, well, you need to praise God for that, because I'm not good enough to do it that way. You know, God does that. And so he loves us. So we're going to preach what he wants to say this morning, and it'll be a blessing to us. But let's pray and make sure that what he wants said gets said. And Father, we are honored to be here. And Lord, I don't say that just because it's a pastoral thing to say, and just because, well, this is just the time we normally pray. Father, check my heart, because I mean it. As much as I know of myself, Father, I'm just so grateful for you, and I love you. And I'm just, every time I talk to you, Father, I hope that I'm never coming from a place of religion or a place of, you know, just repetition and doing it because it sounds good. No, Father, I am honored to preach your word this morning. I'm honored to be in church with these wonderful people and with Jesus here this morning. And so, Lord, we don't want to waste our time here and come out and play church. There's so many people playing church, and they're walking out and their lives aren't changed, or their lives are getting worse. And Father, it's cold. We came all the way out. Some people drove distances to be here. And so, Father, we want something from you this morning. We're hungry for you, and we're excited for what you're going to share. And so I just pray that hearts would be open, that ears would be open to receive what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise beforehand that something that I say is going to touch every single person here today, that it's going to hit the bullseye in their life, and they're going to walk out of here, and it'll be another sign unto them that God is speaking to them in this church, and that you love them, Father, and that you don't want them just to come out and waste their time, that you actually, this is where they pick up their mail. This is where they pick up what they need for their life. And so, Father, I thank you that that happens. Lord, we know I can't do that on my own. We know I'm not smart enough, not even close, and I don't even have the ability to try to meet every single need of everybody going on in here, but you do. And so we trust you for utterance this morning. We trust you for boldness, and we trust you that exactly what you want to say will be said this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 4 and verse 1 is where we're going to launch from here this morning. And it says this. This is the scripture the portion of scripture where Jesus, well, it says right in the first verse, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And for time's sake, you know, we know, if you don't know the rest of the story, let me tell you that this is a period of time not only mentions three times, that happened a lot more in these 40 days, but the Bible only tells us of three specific times, where the devil came and tested Jesus. Let me tell you this right off the bat. The only power the devil has in your life is the power of suggestion.
That's right.
That's the only thing he has.
Sure.
He suggests wrong thoughts to you concerning finances, concerning health, concerning all different other things in the world, concerning what you should do in life. And if people, you know, that's what he did for Adam and Eve. He suggested something to them. And they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And it turned out to be not good because they did that. And so that'll help you to know to keep your thought life straight with the Word of God. But anyways, this is the part of the Scripture where he did that to Jesus. He suggested three separate things to him. And I don't want to take time to look at all of them, because I want to make sure to get this. I don't want to keep you here all day. But three times, you know, one time he said, command these stones to be made bread. Another time he said, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, and the angels will come and we'll pick you up and bury you up in your hands. And then another time he showed him the kingdoms of the world, which are in the devil's hands. And he said, if you'll worship me, I'll give them to you. So three times. And we know it was a temptation for Jesus to follow through with all that, or it wouldn't have been able to be called a temptation if there wasn't something in Jesus that was tempting to want to do that. And so, but thank God he didn't follow through his temptations. That'll help you too. Praise God. Every thought that comes in your head, don't beat yourself up over. Everything that you maybe are tempted to go the wrong way, but just don't go the wrong way. Don't beat yourself up for that temptation, or don't beat yourself up for that wrong thought. Like one minister said, birds will fly over your head, right? And you can't stop it. But you can stop them from building a nest in your head, right? And it's the same way, you know, sometimes a thought or an idea will rip through my mind. I'm like, put me in jail, Lord. Like, if my thoughts were up on the screen, you'd say, man, I'm going to pick another church. And but let's be honest, if your thoughts were up on the screen, I'd say, get them out of my church, right? I mean, it's just the truth, right? You know what I'm talking about. Just these things shoot through your head. Like, where did that come from? Holy cow. And especially it doesn't help with all these crime shows, right? They give you some ideas, amen? I'm kidding now. Glory to God. You're going to call the police and say, you might want to watch him. But I'm just messing around in the sense of, you know, our thought life. But don't beat yourself up. Just don't go that way. Amen. Live by the word of God. But anyways, three times Jesus was suggested to do something. And all three times, the way Jesus responded to the devil was with the word of God. Every single time he gave him scripture, and eventually the devil left him, right? And we know, if you don't know, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, the way we resist the devil is through the word of God. In this portion of scripture, Jesus said in verse 4, we don't have to look there, he says, every man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Lord was saying to him, the thing that's going to sustain you, the thing that's going to keep you, the thing that's going to keep the devil off your back is the word of God. And then Jesus demonstrated it in this passage. Every time the devil came, Jesus didn't pray. Jesus didn't get on his knees and beg God. He didn't call the prayer line. He responded with the word of God. And when the devil starts talking to you, the word of God is going to be the answer that's going to resist him. Because how do you resist the devil? You don't war in tongues. You don't physically fight him. You don't work yourself up into an emotion. Just speak the word at him. Amen? So we see in this that the devil did leave. And we get our example. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our example. So we know that the word of God has great authority and great power when it comes to the enemy. And that the word is the one thing that the devil cannot stand against. I mean, Jesus knew all. He was had full of wisdom. If there was something else that was going to withstand the devil and to get him off his back, he'd have used it. Right? He's not stupid and trying to waste time. And so he went with the most effective tool that he had, which was the word of God. And so we know by this portion of scripture, you can read down through it and see that. And verse 11 says the devil left him. And that the way he got him off his back was the word of God. And so the one thing that the devil would love to steal and rob from your life would be the word of God. If the devil can get the word of God out of your life, the devil can have free play in your life and begin to work on you and to begin to fulfill his resume, which is stealing, killing, and destroying. And so I want to show you something today about the word of God and protecting that word. And again, this all came to me in 5 minutes. I just went right down through my iPad and just typed it right in. God gave me examples and everything right there. And so it's Holy Ghost given, and it'll help us. But go with me now to Mark chapter 4. I want to talk to you about an area. And again, my heart was to talk about the prayer of faith this morning. And God was dealing with me last night so strong about this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16 is what we're going to look at. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about after we look at these two scriptures. But I wanted to set that foundation that the word is so important. That the devil, that's the one thing that he can't stand against is the word of God. And when you use faith, obviously faith is speaking the word of God. He can't come against that. He might try. And he tried with Jesus over and over. But eventually he just kept getting to be a whipped little pup and just stopped coming back for more and left him for a season. But it says in these, verse 16, are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Now actually, Albert, if you could go up to verse 15. I think in context it's important that we see this. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Now notice this. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. So we see Satan's goal is what? Get the word out of their lives. He knows when he was in that wilderness with Jesus, the one thing that whipped his rear was the Word of God. So immediately Satan is trying to get the Word out of people's lives. So we know that's his ploy. That's his tactic to try to remove the Word. Now go to verse 16. It says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended." And the thing that came into my spirit last night in that hotel room was the spirit of offense. And it was so loud in me. And a lot of times I liken it this way, almost like a cow getting branded. My spirit was getting branded with the word offense. And I knew that I was to share on it, and I knew that I was to... These are one of these messages that keep you safe and kind of pull off the curtain on the devil, what he does and his tricks. So that way when it comes to you and it comes knocking on your door, you can say, "Oh, wait a minute, Pastor told me about this," and you can be aware of it, glory to God. And so here the Bible says that, notice in verse 17 it says, "Affliction or persecution arise." Why does affliction, why do tests, why does persecution arise? Tests can be with people, tests can be with money, tests can be in your body, tests can be in your mind, tests can be in your emotions, tests can be at your job. I mean, there's a whole host of things that people go through. But it says that they arise. Has anyone ever had a test or trial just arise out of nowhere? I mean, you're going along and it's smooth sailing, and then, man, you hit a pothole. And you ever hit a pothole so bad you're like, "Oh boy, my car's out of alignment"? Or I had an old truck, and I talk about it in the book, and man, one time I hit a pothole, and I swear it felt like one half of the truck was going this way. I was trying to get to my turkey spot in the morning before the sun came up, and I was just speeding down an old dirt road with that 1990 Nissan, and it was very, well, it wasn't using a lot of wisdom anyways, but I hit a pothole, and that's what those tests and trials can feel like. It's all of a sudden you're driving down a smooth road, and bam. Well, why do they arise? They arise for the word's sake. They spring up in your life to try to steal the word from your life. And so a lot of times when people go through things, we look at the natural side of things. And we think, well, this happened because of this natural thing. They don't understand. It's spiritual in nature. Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. Our fight is the enemy. And he's behind these tests and trials that all of a sudden spring up. And the reason is he's trying to get you to back off the word and to get you offended. Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. Now, listen to what that word offended means in the Greek. It means a whole host of things, but in one context, and I'll look at another meaning of it later, to stumble or to trip somebody up. So the Bible's saying that these tests and trials arise to get you to stumble. You want to know why you stumble? Because the Bible says that the word is a lamp under your feet, a light under your path. And when you don't have the lamp and the light, you're in the dark. And guess what you're doing? Bumping into things, running into the wall, tripping over this. And the Bible says if the devil can get the word out of your life, immediately they're offended, or immediately they begin to stumble or be tripped up. So we got to make sure that we guard so carefully against that spirit, and it is a spirit, the spirit of offense. I have seen it absolutely rob from people. I have seen it in my own life almost absolutely destroy me. Actually, I'll tell the story. I'll save that for when I get to one of my points. Don't let me forget about... Actually, I'll just type it in here right now because I don't want to forget to give you an example of how dumb I was. Glory to God. And it helps people to see, you know? Because there's so many examples to pull from. It's hard to just pick one. And so I want you to see this, but would you understand that the devil's goal is to get you offended? And the Lord gave me three specific areas where people get offended. And there's more, but he gave me three main ones right there in that hotel room. Just boom, boom, boom. Talk about these. So that way we can guard against this stuff. Because what the devil's trying to do is to get you to back off from the word. Because if he can get you to back off from the word, he can cause you to stumble and trip up in a whole host of things. The only thing that Jesus was going to be able to use against the devil that day was the word. If he'd have tried anything else, it wouldn't have worked because that was the tool needed. You know, and it's like this. If you know, I worked for Walker Farms for a little while. One time I was helping Rick Walker, who's Jim's brother, put up a barn. This is how good I am with tools. He said, "Pastor Mike, your new nickname is Lightning." I said, "Oh, that sounds awesome. You know, Lightning, yeah." I said, "Why is that?" He said, Because when you have a hammer and nails, you never hit the same spot twice. And I was so bad. I tell you what, you talk about testing people's patience. I had probably tested everyone on that farm. I was so bad at stuff like that. I tried hard, but man, one time I had to do a chainsaw. And he just got done doing whatever you do to a chainsaw. And so I guess if you hit like a rock or hit some dirt, it messes it all up. And he just got done fixing it. And he walks away, says, "Don't do this." Within the first 30 seconds, boom, I hit it. I can't use a chainsaw. And I'm waiting for him to come back. I'm just like a puppy with my tail between my legs. Messed up the chainsaw. And I could just imagine the thoughts that would go through some of their minds about me. But anyways, what I'm saying is with tools, you know, if someone says, "I need a hammer," a screwdriver's not going to get it done, right? And so Jesus needed the word to get it done. That was the only thing that was going to work. It's the only thing that's going to work in your life when the devil comes a knocking. And so we want to make sure to use that tool. But if the devil tries to rob it, an offense will rob that. It says that. Sure. That people get offended. And what happens? Actually, what happens is in verse 17, it says they endure for a time. That they're doing good. They're going on for a time. But then they get offended. They pull away from the word. And they get hurt, praise God. And so we want to make sure to look at these three areas of offense. And so are you ready for these three areas that the Lord gave me? Now again, wasn't thinking about preaching this. Don't have any specific person in mind. Was sitting there ready. I love preaching on faith more than anything else. And especially Mark 11:24. It's one of my favorite things to preach on. The Lord interrupted me. So this is for us to keep us safe, straight from heaven. Number one area of offense that people get offended is offended at the Word of God. Offended at the Word of God. What do I mean by offended at the Word of God? How many of you know the Bible's job isn't to conform to your life? Your job is to conform to the Word of God. And why do I say that? Because there are people that will come to something in the Word. You know, there's social issues right now in America that if everybody looked at the Word, there wouldn't be such divide on it. And there's Christians that take stances on social issues that are absolutely going against what the Word of God says. Well, if they'd let the Word be their guide, there wouldn't be all this problem. There wouldn't be all this strife. Glory to God. And not just social issues. There's things in your own life. Things where the Word will be preached. And it'll say, man, you know, that's something that's going on in my life that I need to make the adjustment. I need to make the change. I have seen people that get offended at the Word absolutely just put them, they were on a course. Their kids were setting sail for God. And all of a sudden, because something was preached in the Word, and I like to use the term this, pet their fur backwards and mowed their grass sideways, all of a sudden they didn't want to submit to that Word, and they got off track. I've seen it before. I absolutely, of course, I would never for the purpose name names. That's not my heart at all. In fact, everyone that's ever been offended or mad at me, I just love them so much and care about them, just want the best for them. But I had a person, it was a while back, that I was preaching, that I'm not kidding you when I say this, for a year straight. Some of you might have heard the story if you were in Olean, but I want to tell it again because it's that important to see how the devil works. For a year straight, I'm not kidding you, I might as well have been Jesus in their life. I was wonderful. I'm not kidding you. Every day, I'd get at least one text message. Now, most days, I'd get 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10 text messages, and I'm not exaggerating. The only lie I've told from the pulpit is that the Bills were going to beat the Steelers. And I was lying because I didn't believe that. Glory to God. I was just saying to try to rub it into her face. It didn't happen. So, see what happens? Lying doesn't get you anywhere. And so I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Actually, one time I was on a woodchuck hunt with Pastor Tim, who's the Jamestown pastor of Family Church. And we were woodchuck hunting, and I got a text in the morning. And I showed him the text, and he said, "My goodness, send that guy to my church." Because the text always read this: "Good morning, Pastor. I just want to thank you so much for the Word. I want to thank you for what you're doing and your faithfulness. My business has absolutely changed since we started going to your church. We've never seen such increase. We've never seen our kids who were not excited about the Word of God are now serving God and are starting to hear from heaven and get answers in their life. And we're getting everything turned around." Every single day I would get these texts to the point it would be like, oh my gosh, just what do you say anymore to these things? I mean, it was very honored, very nice, very kind. And I got those for a year straight. And in the span of 24 hours, I became the arch enemy of this person in 24 hours because of the Word of God. Totally changed everything. Well, what happened was, I won't go into too much detail for time's sake, I get these texts over. And I mean, I'm talking to this person, bless us financially. Bless us with material things that they have. Just so kind and so generous to us. Just for us. I mean, you couldn't think of anyone that could be more for you the way they were. And so encouraging. And the things they would tell you. And I mean, they would tell other people in the church, since we've come here, everything's changed. That's what happened. And so I'm going along and I got a phone call about something that they had read from a Kenneth Hagin book, which, of course, we don't follow Kenneth Hagin. We follow his teachings, which were the Word of God. You know, if Kenneth Hagin says anything, it's not it's in the Word, I'm throwing it away. I could care less who says it. Doesn't matter to me. I don't give. That's the same with me. If I say anything that's not in here, I might throw it away. Who cares what I say? I mean, who am I? You want the Word. And so one day he calls me and he was talking to me about something that he read in the book. Well, basically, it was, and again, I'm not going to get into details today. It was basically a pet doctrine that they had. Now, up until this point, when they would see something in the Word that they disagreed with or it was foreign to them, they would call with such a meek spirit and a meek heart and say, Pastor, we don't understand this. Could you explain it? I'd say, yeah, let's look in the Word. And you could almost count on Monday mornings after I'd preach on Sunday, I'd be on the phone for an hour to 2 hours the next day explaining something that they'd never saw. And I was happy to do it and glad to do it. And they were so thankful for it. But this particular one, and basically what it dealt with, I'll just give it in general so to kind of help you, was basically the person had been taught in the Word that the wife is not to be below the husband. You know, Christianity doesn't put the wife on a lower level. The Bible says we're heirs together, that the husband's to love the wife like Jesus and not to dominate over her and to be like this and to trample her under feet, you know, and Brother Hagin was talking about that and how the old religion and a lot of cults. If you one thing that you see that is a common thread with cults is they belittle women. Is a lot of them they put women on a lower level and demean them and that's one good indicator of if it's a cult or not. Well, and this was Brother Hagin was talking about how husbands to love the wife, that he's not to be the dictator, he's not to be this and that this way and like that and this pet this guy's fur backwards and mowed his grass sideways because that was what he had grown up, and that's what he had known. This, you're going to do it my way or the highway, right? I'll tell you what, the highway would be better. The highway would be better. And so this happened, and he called, and he was so angry, upset. His demeanor, I mean, I'm telling you, the day before, I'm a hero. Again, text every day. Not one day went by that I didn't get one of these wonderful texts. And he said this, and I explained to him, I said, listen, because he was tearing apart Brother Hagin and everybody associated with him. Why? Because it was kind of creeping into his thing. It's like this, some people that deal with, that have habits or something, or that are struggling in their body. Listen, if you're struggling with a habit or an addiction or something, God loves you and there's help for that. Doesn't mean you're a horrible person. But the Word of God says to live a holy life. And when you tell people, listen, you shouldn't get hammered, you shouldn't get drugged up. Some people, because they love it so much, they'll get mad and ticked off and the Word creeps in, steps on their toes, right? And that's what was happening in this situation. The Word creeped in, stepped on his toes, was all of a sudden his world was being shaken and the possibility of it being uprooted, and he's on the phone ripping apart. I said, listen, I don't care if you're right. I don't care if Brother Hagin's right. What I care about as your pastor is how you called and approached. I said, you're not walking in love right now. I said, this is how, you haven't been like this for a whole year. Well, you know, I hadn't known to the full extent how much it was stepping on his toes, until I found out from other people in the family how much it stepped on his toe. Well, so he sat there. Now, this is someone, just, Pastor, love you so much. 20 minutes on the phone, didn't say a word to me. Got off the phone, didn't even say goodbye. So I said, man, I'm going to go tell this person face-to-face. Let's just put this by. This is a minor thing. Let's just look at the Word. If you're right, great. If Kenneth Hagin's right, great. Let's just be right about it, you know, and go about it the right way. I mean, there might be things that you hear me say that don't sit right, but please don't come to me with daggers. Say, Pastor, what did you mean by this? Or, you know, there's a proper way. I mean, I've done that where I've heard things pray. I said, man, it just doesn't sit right with me. Please explain this to me, and let's do it from the right way. And so I went there face-to-face, and long story short, what ended up happening, I went from the day before to being an absolute hero in this family's life to being physically threatened on their property that if I did, I mean, in my face, and the Holy Ghost said to me, diffuse the situation immediately, because I was about to get probably punched and on his property, and just wouldn't have, that's not, you know, it's not good when pastors are getting punched and things get in the paper. It's not, you know, something that I suggest if you're going to start your own church that you maybe probably stay out of that realm. And I'm sitting there, and I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't because of me. It was because of the Word. They got offended at the Word. They didn't like that the Word told them, you got to change some things. And so that pulled them out. Haven't seen them since. The text messages stopped. The church going stopped. And everything just went. And I don't know how they're doing now. I hope they're doing well. Sure. But here's the thing is, what's interesting about that is, 2 weeks before that happened. Now, that's what I want to show you how the devil works. This is to show you how the devil works. 2 weeks before that, I went to dinner with them. And they said to me, Pastor, if you see anything in our lives ever that doesn't match up with the Word, please point it out. I said, you don't have to worry about that. I'll do that. I have a mandate from heaven to do that. And you're a sheep. I love you. If I see you going the wrong way, I'm going to say something. And they said, tell us. And 2 weeks later, I did. I told them, this is wrong. This isn't the Word. And boom, gone. I went from hero to zero in 24 hours. I mean, hero status to nothing. Not because of me, because of something in the Word of God. And so what I'm saying is, the Word's job is not to conform to your life. Your job is to conform to what this book says. If this book says to love your spouse, it doesn't matter what they're doing, you're to love them. Right? Now, let me paraphrase, go back. If your spouse is treating you wrong and, you know, beating the heck out of you, your job is not to stay in that situation and put yourself in harm. Let's not get religious about it. But I'm talking about you're having problems in with your marriage and stuff. The Bible says love. The Bible says love. You don't like tithing. The Bible says do it. You don't like giving. The Bible says do it. You don't like I don't like the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. That tongue stuff weirds me out. Well, Jesus commanded don't leave home without it. I mean, you might not like it. You might not feel good to you, but the Word's job isn't to conform to you. Your job is to conform to the Word. And see, when people, what happens is then people, they get offended at the Word's sake, and then now the Word that they're getting, and their business absolutely changed. They showed me some things of the opportunities and things that it was growing since they had gotten faithful and started tithing in a church where God told them to be. And their kids were just getting, their one member of their family had a call of God on their life. Call of God on their life. I know that he knows it, and someone else in the family knows it as well. And it got, everything just got totally stopped and changed. Why? The Word. The Word's sake. Got offended at the Word. Weren't offended at me. They weren't offended at Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was just repeating what the Bible says about a husband. So that's number one area to guard against, that when your pastor, you read something in the Bible, that something might step on your toes. Listen, I've been there. I used to have all the addictions. When they talk about, I used to be immoral. When I'd hear about the holy living and that God wants you to present your body a living sacrifice, that bothered me because I knew it stepped on the toes of the things I was watching, the things I was doing, the things I was putting in my body. It wasn't fun to me, but then I had an idea to say, okay, I can leave and get mad, but the Bible's never going to change. God's will is never going to change on that. And if I want to go forward with God, it's my job to conform to that. Amen? And again, if you're struggling with something, God is so merciful. He's so kind. He works with you. He's not expecting you to be perfect overnight. That's not what we're saying. But when somebody says, I don't care. It's like the Bible talks about lifting hands and praising God with the mouth. I had a person from the Jamestown church say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not ever doing that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Well, what do you say to something like that? So there's someone saying, doesn't matter what the Word says. They're offended at the Word's sake. So that's number one. Be careful about being offended at the Word of God. Are you ready for number two?
Yes.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. Praise God. Now, if you're a lover of the Word, when things step on your toes, man, you get excited. You want to know why? Because the things that are stepping on your toes are probably because they're things you're doing that are wrong. And the things that you're doing that are wrong are the things that are hurting you. The things you're doing right aren't hurting you. The things you're doing wrong are hurting you. So when I hear something in the Word that just absolutely gets into my craw and just gets into the, just, you know, when someone like, I like to just nag my wife. Courtney, if you don't know, is probably the most laid-back human being on the face of planet Earth. Someone could show up at the door with a check for $1 million and she'd look the same as if someone showed up and said, your house is being foreclosed on. And I am not exaggerating. She would be that way. And so that ticks me off because I want to get some emotion out of that girl. So I'll start to just poke and prod. She's very ticklish. Just And every time Mike stops, and I start to get that emotion building up, it gets me more excited, you know? So I start poking even more, but I just try to get into those areas that really get a jerk or a reaction out of her. And I'll tell you what, that's what the Word will do. It'll get into those areas that just cause you to be uncomfortable. But God's not doing it because He doesn't love you. God's not doing it because He's trying to make you miserable like I'm trying to do to my wife. He's trying to do it to you to get you to wake up to change because better's for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Number two, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. I want to read this to you down through verse 6. We're talking about the spirit of offense and guarding against it. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. This is not talking about John, the writer of the Gospel, John. It's talking about John the Baptist. Of course, we know he was ended up being beheaded. He was put in prison. But it says, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, now he sent his disciples to ask Jesus this, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Now when you read that, you might think, John's in prison, he's hearing about this guy, and he just wants to know. The problem is John already knew. These scriptures are after John was standing in the River Jordan, saw the Spirit of God descend out of heaven like a dove, fall on Jesus, and heard a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He knew Jesus was the one. But let me show you why he also started to question it. Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again. See, John already knew. So go show John again. Those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor of the gospel preached to them. And then verse 6, and blessed is he, or you could say it this way, blessed is the one, whoever shall not be offended in me. Why did John the Baptist, who sat there and saw one of the greatest things in history, he saw the Spirit of God come out of heaven in the form of a dove, land on this man, heard a voice from heaven say, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He saw it happen, and now he's in prison, and all of a sudden he's starting to question, is he really the one? He got offended at Jesus. He got offended at his circumstances. It's like the people, how can I be sure? I have tithed for 6 months straight. How can I faithfully go to church? How can this be happening to me? And they get offended, just like the Bible said in Mark 4, when trials, tribulation, and persecution arise, they get offended for the word's sake. But this is what I want you to see. In that word offended in the Greek, listen to what it means. He's all of a sudden now questioning Jesus, of all people. That word offended, when Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended. Offended means to cause a person to begin to distrust and to desert the one whom he ought to trust and obey. Isn't that exactly what happened? He should have trusted and obeyed Jesus and believed in Jesus, but the offense of the situation got him to start thinking, I don't know, is he really the one? I'm in prison here. What's up with that, you know? Why do I say that? Number two, the way the devil works is getting you offended at the person who sent in your life to be your help. And let me just say this, God never intended for you to walk through this life alone. And I don't mean with a spouse, I'm talking God put somebody over you spiritually that's to perfect you and get you to a better place. We know that. Without a pastor, the Bible says you're scattered, you're faint, you're dejected, you're harassed and bewildered, in Matthew 9 and verse 35 and 36. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints. You cannot be fully perfected. You cannot be fully equipped without somebody over you. You need somebody. I need somebody. Everybody needs somebody. God has not left us without somebody. And the one way the devil will work, he's worked on me in this area, I've seen him work with other people in my life, is to get people offended at the one person who's sent in their life to be their spiritual help. And this is exactly what the devil did with John the Baptist. He got offended. He began to distrust and begin to desert the one whom he ought to trust and obey. I have seen it. I have seen it. I have seen it. Glory to God. Can I give you another example?
Yes.
This happened a while back again. I'll tell you, I am so leery at the ones that I am so heroic in the eyes of. Because I'll tell you what, it seems like those are the ones I crash and burn with the worst. And someone was going through a trial, and they don't. Of course, they're not going here. That's not. I wouldn't ever do that if someone, you know, was going through. Air out your. Oh, you know, someone's telling me this is what they're going through, and they're sitting there. Oh, I thought I told them that in private. But that's why I don't use names. But going through a trial, heavyweight trial, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm talking 2 to 3 hour phone calls. See, people don't see behind the scenes. 2 to 3 hour phone calls of helping this person through this heavyweight trial. Every time, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm with you. Nothing you're going to do are going to get rid of me. And from the beginning of that trial, I did the same thing I did at the end of the trial. Just tell him the word, encourage him, give him the word. Well, things didn't work out the way the person wanted to. And actually, the heavyweight trial was a self-inflicted heavyweight trial. Now, let me help you with that. If you're in a self-inflicted heavyweight trial, repent and get God to help you get out of that thing. But the reason I say that is because this person, because of what, some of you know you have consequences at times. Yes, God will get you out of them, but sometimes there's a little bit of a mess. Give God a chance to clean it up, right? It takes some time at times. So this person's going through hell on earth, no denying that, and I'm with them. Phone calls and meetings, hours and hours of my personal time. I mean, just, and I'm glad to do it, not regret it at all. I'm with you, Pastor. I'll never leave you. You're not getting rid of me. I'll never leave you. Now, that's something to say that, but if you're going to say that, my goodness, you might want to keep your word. Now, if your Pastor Mike starts, you know, has an atmosphere where kids aren't safe here, or, you know, he's living immoral, he's stealing money, you ain't got to be faithful to that. You understand what I'm saying. This isn't the blind drinking the Kool-Aid here. You're not drinking the Pastor Mike Kool-Aid. If I don't stick with the word of God, run for the doors. I'm the first to tell you that. But when that person, I'm giving them the word, and at first it's wonderful. And I'm like, tithing, it's working, it's keeping us, it's sustaining us. And I'm telling them the word, and I start to see the slow fade away, to the point now, tithing doesn't work, this doesn't work, you're this and you're that, and I never changed through the whole trial. I said, brother, what about when you said, he didn't have an answer, I said, you told me you love me and you'll never leave me. I said, it's interesting what the devil will do. He will make the person in your life that is the most pro for you, he'll make them the epitome of your enemy. That'll be the center and the focal point of your life, of your misery. And all of a sudden, I became, instead of that help, that lifeline to that person, I became the problem. And I was by far not the problem. I was the only one in their stinking corner all the time helping them. But it's interesting, the devil will do that. The devil did that to John the Baptist with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, John's offended at me. Blessed is the one that's not offended. What's he saying? Blessed is the one who's not offended at the word. So be on guard. Again, I'm not talking about if all of a sudden our kids come here and, you know, we're letting predators mess with our kids and we have an unsafe environment and Pastor Mike's preaching his own doctrine and Pastor Mike's lining his own pockets and Pastor Mike's living in a moral, sinful life. I'm not talking about that. That's not what we're saying. But be on guard for the devil to try to put a wedge between you and your pastor. There's a message coming down the pipeline. There's two relationships on planet Earth, natural relationships, that the devil works to come between. Number one is your spouse. If he can divide a husband and wife, the household will fall. A kingdom divided against itself will not stand, the Bible says, where two or three agree on earth as anything they ask, it'll be done. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. If the devil can come between a husband and a wife, he can get to the kids, he can get to the finances, he can get to the health. That's number one. The second relationship that you have to guard with all your might is your relationship with your pastor. Because he's the one put in your life to feed you the word of God. The one that's there to put spiritual covering over you and to pray for you, to hear from heaven for your life, to show up here every day. It's not exalting the man. Listen, we know what the man was. 26 jobs, 2 years, almost killed himself, horrible life, immoral life. We know we're not bragging about the man here. There's not much good to really say about me. We're talking about the gift and the mantle of the pastor. And so it's important that you be careful. That because now the encouragement that he gets starts to become, oh God, I wish he'd shut up. I don't want to hear him. Oh, it's not working anyways. Yeah, and I become the picture of who you're mad at. And you ought to be mad at the devil. The devil's the one messing you up, not your pastor. Again, we're not talking if your pastor gets squirrely and does things wrong. That's not what we mean. But be careful. That's the second thing the Lord wants me to show. And then the third area of offense, and I'll get through this one quick, is a hurt, is an offense at a hurt caused by somebody else. How many of you know? You know, it's funny, Christians could be the biggest ones for this. You know what I mean? Where they're, it's like they should be the most loving. It's amazing that some of the most generous and kind people in my life aren't even Christians, and it's sad. Shouldn't be that way. Some of the ones that are the most loving and the most generous and that be willing to give the shirt off their back, they're not even believers. And I scratched my head and said, what? That is backwards. They ought to be the example, the shining light. But here's the thing. Sometimes people will get hurt. You know, it can be within a church situation, whatever. But anything that tries to pull you away from the word isn't good. You know what I mean? Now, here's what I want to show you about. Because have you ever been hurt by anybody? I sure have. I mean, it hurts when somebody loves you so much. At least they say they do. And then the next day, they want nothing to do with you. And in fact, have threatened you and told you, if you come on my land, there's going to be consequences. I mean, that is, I'm sorry, I'm not a robot. I have emotions, and that bothers me. That hurts. You know, it's amazing to me. You can stand at the door, and for years, people can walk by, Pastor, love you. Thank you so much for the word. And then people be gone, never even call and tell you. It's like, can you imagine if I just up and walked out of your lives? You know I'd never do that. But why do people do that all the time? I'd never just not show up. Where'd Pastor Mike go? I don't know. That's what I'm like with people in the seat. Where'd the person go that fills that seat? I don't know. They told me they love me. They're here every week, and I'm so wonderful. Now they don't even give me a common courtesy to tell me we're gone. I don't get it. Like, where's the relationship there, right? So just to tell you that I've been hurt. I've been hurt by people. But I want to tell you that I was hurt by people one time, and it almost kept me. I would not have my wife that I have today. I would not have this church or Olean Church. Back in 2004, when I was at Rhema in April of 2004, my dad had a stroke, and it completely just changed. We've been going through just such the fire with my dad. He's now in a nursing home full time. It's not been a pretty thing the last couple months, and it's been a lot we're dealing with personally, and it's a sad situation. And when that first happened, that rocked me because, I don't know, as a little boy, man, I looked up to my dad. I did. I treasured that relationship I have with Caleb because I don't want to do him wrong in some ways, you know what I mean? And so when my dad got sick like that and it just changed his whole life, I because of fear and because of anxiety and worry, I spent like 15, 16 hours a day at the nursing home. And I did that mostly out of fear because I wanted to make sure they were doing everything right for him, but it was draining me. And there's a gentleman, I'm going to have him here someday. He's quite a character. His name's Randy Nelbone, and the Cienzas will agree with quite a character. I'm so thankful for Randy because he led me to Jesus. And so I'll always be thankful for that. And but anyways, back then, him and Pastor Tim, we'd started the Jamestown Church in January of 2003, I believe it was, or January 2004, one of those times. I can't remember the dates that specifically. But anyways, in the beginning, and I had come home from Bible school. And my dad was in the nursing home, and so Pastor Tim, who's my natural, we've been best friends since fourth grade, I mean, inseparable. And then Randy became a good friend of mine. He led me to Jesus and got me started with the church and the Word of God. And in my mind, they weren't coming around as much as I thought they should be. In my mind, I was hurt that why aren't they visiting more? Now, I'm here to tell you, they didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, a lot of times when we're going through stuff, we're so self-absorbed. We're so about ourselves that we think everybody else, listen, other people have lives. Everybody else is doing things. And by the way, if our trust was in Jesus, we wouldn't have to worry about what everybody else is doing. But me, I was like, I mean, I remember one time they'd set up a wiffle ball field and they were playing wiffle ball. I'll tell you what, that ticked me off. I'm down at the nursing home on a nice day, not being able to play wiffle ball, and they're up the road, actually literally up the road from the nursing home playing wiffle ball, and they're not sitting with me for hours. And I mean, how self-absorbed and selfish to think that other people should come and sit there for hours with me. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But that's the way I was, and I got so offended and so hurt. Now, regardless, I was wrong, but there's times where you could be not even wrong and somebody hurt you. I get that. But anyways, so we had church at the Holiday Inn, and I'd walk in, and I'd tell him this story. If I'd see Randy's face or if I'd hear his voice, I'd walk right out. And word not being in my life. And I was being destroyed financially, absolutely destroyed financially. Had was not hearing the word. Why? When the word is absent of your life, the devil has free play with you. I'm not kidding you, and I knew I was going to see him because he was up there doing worship. He'd do the announcements. I'd walk in, see his face, see you later, sayonara. I'd walk in, hear him open his mouth. I'm gone. Don't want him to be around. That's how bitter and offended I was. And I left and kept leaving. And the Lord began to deal with me about that. And he said to me, I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you something. Go to, and we're going to close here, Mark 11. He said to me, I don't care. If you think he's right or wrong, you're acting wrong about this. Yeah. Devil was robbing from me the whole time I was letting him do it. Praise God. Mark 11. In verse 23, we're going to close with this. Offended, number one, at the word. Offended at the one who is your help. And number three, you're offended and you walk away from the word because of a hurt. And that's what we're looking at. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. Praise God, the Bible says we can have what we say. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what the things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. Praise God, the Bible says we can have what we pray. But praise God, there's also a verse 25 that starts with the word and. Can you go to verse 25, Albert? And. That means it's connected to 23 and 24. And when you stand praying, what does he mean stand praying? When you're in that place of releasing your faith in verse 23, when you're in that place of releasing your faith in verse 24 for the things you need, and when you're doing that, forgive. If you have anything against anybody. Notice it doesn't say forgive. It doesn't put the caveat or the asterisk there. It says you don't have to forgive if you were wronged. Forgive if you have aught against any. That word aught there, it's a neat word, isn't it? It means anything. Forgive if you have anything against anyone. The Lord was telling me, I don't care if you think Randy's right. I don't care if you think Randy's wrong. Your job is to forgive because you have something against somebody. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you the testimony. I asked the Lord, I said, wow, Father. I said, my goodness, I'm not walking in love. Can you imagine if Jesus treated you the way you treat people that wrong you? Can you imagine if Jesus treated you the way you are? I know a lady that is just has something going on in her life with personal family members. Again, not in this church. So bitter. To the point of, I hope karma strikes them down. Karma comes back. I mean, they're so bitter. Just want... That ain't the spirit of Christ working in somebody. Because God leaves you zero place to hold a grudge. He leaves you no place at all. Now, that doesn't mean you have to trust everyone. Doesn't mean you have to be best buddies with everybody. But you do have to forgive them. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is saying to me, it's keeping you from the word all the time. So I repented. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for that. When I've asked him for him, within a couple weeks, Courtney got the job at the YWCA as the head of the child care and early education program that absolutely carried us financially for the next 8-9 years. She was the breadwinner. I don't mind. Don't matter to me if she's a breadwinner. I don't care. She got the great, praise God. You went to school, got the degree, you got the job. Woohoo, hallelujah. Yay, money's coming. Didn't matter to me how it comes, right? I have no pride there. Just bring on the green, praise the Lord. And that job carried us. That job carried us for years, and it didn't happen until finally I said, forgive me. And the job opened up. We were being destroyed financially. But what I want to, because how many of you know, let me tell you something. If you're looking for the perfect church, make sure you don't go there, because the minute you go there, that church won't be perfect anymore. And let me tell you something. There might be people in the seats next to you, in the seats behind you, that are going to wrong you, that are going to say something, or I might maybe look at you wrong, or not give you the greeting that you wanted, or didn't call you enough, or didn't visit you enough, or I didn't meet that expectation. Stop holding people at expectations. Just have the expectation of loving everybody like Jesus did. It'll save you a lot of heartache. But there's probably going to be people that, family members and friends, that might hurt you. And you say, well, I'm not going to go there anymore. Yet God's told you to be there. God's feeding you the word. You're getting blessed. Your family's changing. Your life's changing. Everything's changing. Just guard against it. Amen? I don't have any specific examples in my mind. I believe this is a warning for this church. And to put it out there, because I see it happen, and it robs the devil. Remember, when you know that the devil's up to it, you say, I'm not giving in to that. Say, in no way, because I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me out of the word. You're trying to get me out of the place from here and from heaven. Amen? So guard against the three, offended at the word, offended at the one who is your help, and offended because somebody hurt you. Praise God. Well, we learned a lot today, didn't we? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for our help. Lord, this is a lot to swallow, I understand. A lot of this message, you have to really take a big old swallow of pride. Because, Lord, we want to be justified. We want to be right a lot of times. And the important thing is to do things your way. That's the right way. So, Father, I thank you that if there's anyone in here that, you know, they have any bitterness against anybody or they have any resentment, Lord, they'll just let that go. They'll actually get to the place where they ask you to forgive them, and then they'll actually be praying for that person to help them. Now, I'm speaking to you now. I'm not praying, but keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. A lot of times, we want the like so-called, quote-unquote, the karma to come back on them, or we want them to get what they deserve. Well, praise God you didn't get what you deserved. And instead of that person, we ought to be praying and saying, you know what, there's an area in their life, there's a weakness there. Instead of, you know, maybe spouting it off to everybody or to sitting there stewing that in your mind, why not praying for them and say, Lord, help them with that. Help them with that, Father. It's hurting their life. That's the love of Christ. Praise God. So, Father, I thank you that people are doers of the word here in this church. And, Father, I don't know why you had me preach this message. I just know I was planning on doing something different, and you said to do this. And Father, I just believe whoever was here was meant to be here for a reason, Father, to hear this, and that's going to be a warning. And Father, maybe something will come down the road that will try to rob the word from their life. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We magnify you this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're listening to my voice, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You never come into this relationship with him where you accept him and ask him to be your Savior and have God as your Father where he protects you and cares for you and provides for you. If you've never received Jesus, if you can ask yourself the question, if today I died, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't a yes, then you need Jesus. So is there anybody in this building that if you died today, I mean, I'm not talking, listen to me, I want to get right down the nitty gritty here. I know everybody here, but I want to make sure, because I preached one time at the Jamestown Church, and there was a woman that went there for 2 years and said, I thought I was saved until you said this next line. And the line I said was, get off the fence of eternity. It's not a something where, you know what, I'm pretty sure I'd go to heaven. That's on the fence. It's not something of, well, I hope I would, or I've been a good person. No, get off that. Get into the ground of knowing. And if you're here and you can say, if you can't say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven the day my heart stops beating. But if you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody here that you want to know for sure? Father, I don't see any hands. That doesn't surprise me in this building, Father, but I would want to make sure. But Lord, there might be people listening by live stream. So if you're listening by live stream, or if you're listening through the archives at a later date, and you want to receive Jesus, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to give any money for it. You just cry out to Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you want to receive Jesus, if you want to enter into eternal life and have a good Heavenly Father, you just cry out to him and you say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And ask you to come into my heart. And if you made that decision and you prayed that and you meant that, send us an email, send us a letter, give us a call. I'd love to hear about it and get you started on your new life with God. But Father, we love you today. We praise you. Thank you for safety going home today, Father. Thank you for a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a blessed week and have an awesome Thanksgiving and leave some room for donuts. They will be here next week. So praise God. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.